Good evening. I'm blessed that you're all here. Thank you. Darkness and light. You know, I didn't know what I was going to say when I first came up here. I do have a lot written down. But as I tried to light 5 candles up here, and the first 2 didn't light, the third one lit, and then 2 more didn't light. That's a reflection on what I'm about to talk about tonight. I will try to keep it together, but I wear my heart on my sleeve, as most of you know who know me. My life was perfect, I was in control, and I had it all together. So I thought. Inside, I was a mess. I was hiding all my fears and problems deep inside me as I was suffering from depression and felt like I had nowhere to go. I was in a very dark place, a place I couldn't even share with my loving wife because I didn't want to burden her with my internal problems. At that point in my life, I had no purpose. I had no connection with God. I had no friends. And I had destroyed my relationship with my children because of the way I treated them over the years. And of course, I'd been going to church for over 10 years and attending the occasional Bible study during the year, but I was lost and miserable. I wanted to know God. I saw others having a relationship with, but I could not overcome the fact that God just was not tangible. Then one day, something changed in me. I can't explain it, my friends. I started feeling bad about sinning. I mean, really, really bad. I was unhappy and overwhelmed. I was fighting with God, and it became very personal for me. And I'm wondering at this point, am I going crazy talking to God even though I don't believe in Him? This consumed me. I was fighting with the Almighty God. The God I wanted to know and love, but didn't. As I began to do some deep soul searching, I continued mental struggles within myself, and I took a spiritual weekend at a camp for 3 days. I was skeptical about this camp, and I really didn't want to be there, to be honest, but if I was lucky, maybe God would hit me right in the chest with the answers I needed, which is very interesting because I found out after my walk that my wife had been praying for me and praying that God would hit me right in the chest. I heard people singing to the Lord. I heard about the love of God and how great it is. I learned about agape and saw much love in all of it. Then it happened. The love of God pierced my heart just like the nails that held Jesus to the cross. I was blown away. I was told God loved me. I began to cry. At that very moment, I knew what happened to me. But I needed to sleep on it, for I was still skeptical, still didn't know, didn't believe, but I felt something deep inside me. I thought, I don't know what this is, but let's see if it's still there in the morning. The next morning, my friends, God had overtaken my heart. I woke up a new man, a child of God. I felt different. I thought different. Can't explain it. Just happened. Amazing. I had accepted God into my heart, into my life. I began to cry, then I began to laugh. I felt so much true joy. I can't remember ever feeling this much in my whole life. I'm a new person who lives for God and trusts in Him. I have a new life, and I do not have to do anything alone anymore, as God will help me through any situation because He is the light that guides me. This is very exciting for me as I enter into the newest chapter of my life. As for the church, it means more to me than just walking in the door on Sunday morning. It means I have a family that cares for me and loves me and supports me during all the times of my life. This church also gives me a place to grow closer to God. In the past, I couldn't get out of here fast enough when the service is over. Now, my wife and kids are waiting on me on Sunday morning. I'm interested in people and care about them. I have friends now, and I recognize God brought them into my life to share love and the light of Christ with me. I have learned my life isn't about me. As a God-loving man, God had put it in my heart to ask a co-worker if he would go on the walk to Emmaus. He said he was getting his wisdom teeth out that weekend and he didn't want to commit to something and then back out if things didn't go well for him. But he also said this, I wouldn't want someone else to miss out on such a great weekend. Of course, I was disappointed. I was sure God had told me to do this and my friend would say yes. The very next day, without knowing anything about it, I get a call out of the blue from Pastor Dave, asking me if I would sponsor a really cool guy on the walk to Emmaus. Now, the old me wouldn't even accepted this offer, but I didn't even think twice about it and said yes. I said, please give me his contact information so I could contact him and get to know him. It was just a few short weeks before the walk. I was nervous but excited for what God had in store for me. Needless to say, at our first meeting, we hit it off like old friends. It was like I knew this cool guy my whole life, and we were just catching up on old times. The 2.5 hours we spent together went by so fast. This was our first meeting, 2.5 hours just talking. It was so great. And I learned God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was a large part of this man's background. But he had yet to make that connection with his heart and mind. Yet anger, frustration, and other life obstacles kept this man from truly knowing and accepting God in his heart. He was in a dark place, a place I had been before. And I knew very well. This had an impact on me because when I look at him from across the table and I saw my old self, the self I left behind for the light and love of God. Then came the walk to Emmaus weekend. I dropped him off on Thursday, gave him a big hug, and told him God loved him. But everything changed that Saturday evening. I received a voicemail that changed the tone of that weekend for me and for him and his family for the rest of their life. It was my new friend's wife calling, telling me her brother and nephew were in a car accident and passed away. I immediately wept and began to pray to God. I began to realize I was brought into this man's life to support him and his family and to break some of the most devastating news anyone will ever hear in their lifetime. The next morning, I began the 3-hour drive round trip to bring him home to his family. The weekend retreat was not over by any means, but he needed to be home to support his wife and family, and I knew that. My friends, the light of God in my heart pulled me through something I thought I'd never be able to do or handle. I prayed the whole way there. I turned on the radio. I called my wife for advice, but nothing was calming my nerves. My heart was split open for this family. I hardly knew. And God was with me the whole time. People at the camp talked with me before I saw my friend, but nothing was comforting me. I asked God right before I went into the room to break this awful news to him for strength to be there and comfort him in his time of need. I still had a hard time keeping myself together, but once he put his arms around me and told me this weekend meant so much to him, and he thanked me for sponsoring him and being there for him, I immediately became calm. God had once come into my life so that he could come into somebody else's life when he needed the most. Now, this story is not over by any means, and that's what I told Pastor Christopher when he asked me to do this 3 weeks ago, and I told him no. But I realized something in that answer. I realize that God's never done with us. So I encourage you to go out and witness and to help someone. Be there for someone. Share the light of Christ. Say yes to God. I did, and I will continue to do so with God's help. Trust in God and share the light of Christ with someone and feel the grace of God. Just remember, my friends, that God loves you no matter what. Thanks be to God.
I met with a dear soul earlier today who desperately wants to join the church. And she said, but Pastor, do I have to do it in front of the whole congregation at Mashad's? And I said, no, you don't. How about coming tonight? A little bit more intimate setting. It's usually 24 to 30 people. So I lied to her. I didn't realize there was going to be over 40. Mary, I hope you forgive me. But can I invite you up to take the vows of membership? Come stand right next to me, would you? Mary, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you? And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, oppression, and whatever forms they present themselves? Do you? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in Him, in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people, all ages, all nations, and all races? Do you? Guess what? You did it. You're a member now. How about a round of applause for Mary? Thank you. Thank you all for making this evening so special for Eric, so special for Mary, so special for anybody who's here for the first time. There's something about being in the presence of God, in the silence, waiting for His word to come upon us. In reading the sacred text over and over again, and singing music together. It's individual, yet it's corporate. The individual time comes in those moments of silence where you can hear the whisper, the message that God has for only you. And then it's corporate, where we sing together and commune together. Give thanks that God can pull us out of the darkness and into the light. And so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it and He gave thanks. He blessed it and gave it to His disciples. I give this to you, my broken body, so that you could pull yourself out of the darkness as you come to me and receive the light. for whoever believes in me will not have darkness in their lives. Sure, there will be dark times, but the light cannot be distinguished. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but if we were able to blot out all the lights, ambient and overhead, and have total darkness in here, it would only take one candle to illuminate the whole room. And Jesus is the light of the world who comes to stamp out the darkness and bring light to our lives. And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks, he blessed it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take all this, all of you, and drink it, for it is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we collectively pray that the Holy Spirit would pour out upon these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine and transform them in some holy mystery, some holy way, transform them into the body and blood of Christ, so that as we partake, we say yes to the invitation of receiving that light in our lives, casting out of the darkness. And saying yes to the invitation to the journey of a lifetime. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I think it's only fitting, I've consecrated the elements, but I think it's only fitting that if your friend would like to come up and serve, that you too have the opportunity to serve together. Just a couple words of housekeeping. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come forward and receive communion here. We believe as United Methodists that all are welcome to the table. So come as you are led. Come as you will. Come as you want. Hear the words, the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. And one other thing. We have a full loaf. And I know I've modeled things well for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
As you are led, please come to the banquet table and feast.
Before you, I was a flame burning down. I was burning out, but you knew me better. For you, there was never a doubt, not since you gave me life. Something was different, I knew it the instant You put the light in me, the spark, the shot to the heart. You are the hope that leads me out of the dark. You let your love shine down so that the world could see. You put the light in me, the light. 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 You put the light in me. You are the maker. You tell the sun when to rise. I'm just a house on a hill. But you made me brighter than all the stars in the sky. Keep me from growing dim, 'cause in your perfection, I'm just a reflection. So pull me closer to you. I'll catch like a fire, and I'll hold you higher. 'Cause you put the light in me, the spark, the shot to the heart. You are the hope that leads me out of the dark. You let your love shine down so that the world could see. You put the light in me, the light. 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 You put the light in me. I'll raise it high, I'll let it show. From the rooftops down to the streets below. In day and night, you will be known, and all will see. You put the light in me. Cause you put the light in me, the spark, the shot to the heart. You are the hope that leads me out of the dark. You let your love shine down so that the world could see. You put the light in me, the light. 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 You put the light in me.
Thank you.
blessing and praise. Blessing and praise be given. Blessing and praise be given to Christ who comes for us, comes in the name of the Lord. Blessing and praise be given. Blessing and praise be given to Christ who comes for us, comes in the name of the Lord.
So Moses saw a light way off in the distance, and he goes up into the mountain to chase after that light. He gets up to it, and he doesn't realize what's emanating from that light. It's the very presence of God. And God says, Moses, remove your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. And I always wonder, as he came to that realization of being in the presence of God, if he, when he turned to go back down the mountain, if he left his sandals behind or took the time to put them on. My guess, my theory, is that he walked off the mountain leaving the sandals behind, realizing that every step he took is holy ground. And so that's what I commission you to do tonight, is to realize every step you take in this world, when you have the light of Christ in you, is holy ground. And your mission is to take that light to the world through Christ who gives you strength. So go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sharing that light with the world. Who knows, you might have a new best friend, a new brother in Christ, a new sister in Christ, a new family in Christ. Go in peace. Amen.